Good morning, friends and family. Merry, Merry Christmas. I pray that today, as Christmas Day has come upon us in 2020, that you're going to have a fantastic time experiencing the love of God today with friends, with family, in your own walk with God. And we've been looking over the last couple of weeks on our series is called It's a Wrap, and we've been talking a little bit about Christmas. And today I wanted to talk to you about the purpose of Christmas. We've been reading out of Luke chapter 2 verses 8 to 10. I'm going to read this portion out of the NIV. It says, "There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people.'" So the first purpose, I believe, of Christmas is a celebration. This is a celebration. The angels began to shout out of heaven because they'd been waiting for centuries for this to happen. They couldn't contain themselves, and they burst forth with this wonderful message. So this is the message that God was sending his son to be the savior of our sins, and that we now can celebrate the fact, number one, that God loves us so much. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." We can celebrate the fact that God loves us. Secondly, we can celebrate that God is with us, that he came to be with us. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, God says, "I will never leave you, I will never abandon you." And thirdly, we can celebrate the fact that God is for us. In John 3:17 in the NLT, it says, "God didn't send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it." So the first purpose of Christmas is a celebration of God's love, that God is with us, that he's for us, that he's in us, that he wants to be with us, and that we can celebrate this wonderful message that God loves us so unconditionally. The second purpose of Christmas is that we can celebrate is that God came in the form of a man to save us from our sins. In Matthew 1:21, it says, "She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." God's intent from the very beginning of time was to have a relationship with us. And there was this issue of sin that was separating God loving us and having a relationship with us apart from our performance. So God sent his son Jesus to become a man and that he would save us from our sins. In Romans 3, 23 to 24, it says, "For everyone has sinned, for we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins." You know, we needed saving from our sins. The debt was too big. The penalty for sin was too great. Yet God in his love sent his son Jesus to free us and save us and to pay the penalty for our sins. In Romans 7, 24 and 25 in the Message, it says, "I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me?" The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. So in the birth of Jesus Christ, he was the one who came to show us the very face and heart of God. If you think about all of the women and men that Jesus interacted with who were in their sins and how Jesus responded to them. The woman who was caught in adultery, she was guilty. She could not be freed from her sins. She was guilty of death according to the law. But Jesus didn't condemn her. He didn't kill her. But then he said something very important. He said, "Go and sin no more," because she'd experienced perfect love, that we can live a life free from the consciousness of sins because Jesus has saved us from our sins. In Hebrews 8 verses 12, it says, "For I will be merciful and gracious toward their sins, and I will remember their deeds of unrighteousness no more." In Zephaniah 3:17, in the Amplified, it says, "He," talking about God, "will rest in silent satisfaction, and in his love he will be silent and make no mention of past sins or even recall them." So because God sent his son to pay the penalty for our sins, he's wanting a relationship, he's wanting reconciliation. And I like the way it says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 17. It says this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we would be made right with God through Christ. My friend, if you are struggling under the influence of sin, remember the wages of sin is death. You know, we experience death in our lives when we are sinning. When sinning means to fall short of the glory of God, it means to fall short of the prize. When you are living your life less than what God intended for you, remember that Jesus came that you might have life and life to the full. So if you are living in a way that is short of God's abundant life, Jesus is the one who can come and save you. He's the one who comes and frees you. He's the one who comes and helps you and rescues you. In Psalm 145:14, it says, God gives a hand to those down on their luck, gives a fresh start to those ready to quit. In Psalm 51:10, it says, God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ. The Bible calls him Emmanuel, God with us, the one who comes and reconciles us back into relationship with God. And I want you to know, friend, that God is ready anytime you are. In Zechariah 10:6, it says, I know their pain and will make them good as new. They'll get a fresh start as if nothing had ever happened. My friend, if you are needing a fresh start, if you are needing to come away from the influence of sin, where you can live a life in relationship with God, free from guilt and shame and condemnation, Jesus is the one who does it. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, everything that we have, right thinking and right living, a clean slate and a fresh start, comes from God by the way of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the only one who came to pay the penalty for the sin and the price that we could never ever pay. Because he was sinless, he took the penalty for our sin, and he saves us from our sin, that I no longer have to live under its influence, living for short of what God intended for me. You know, if you need that, my friend, you can call upon Jesus, because he is a savior who saves us from our sins. Not only are we saved from our sins, we are saved for a purpose. So God saves us through his son, Jesus Christ, and he gives us a purpose. In 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, he saved us and he called us to be his own people, not because of what we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. So he's saying that he saves us and he calls us to be his own, not because of our own merit, but because of his own purpose. So he saves you for a purpose and because of his grace, which shows you that we are saved not because we are doing good or because we are doing well or because we have put in a lot of effort. We are saved purely because it's a grace gift. In Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So you are saved because it's a gift that is given to you. It's received because you're putting your trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So firstly, the purpose of Christmas is to celebrate the fact that God loves you. Secondly, the purpose of Christmas is that Jesus Christ was born as a savior to save us and free us from the penalty of sin. Thirdly, the third purpose of Christmas is that we can experience peace from God. And this was the cry of the angels when they began to declare the Savior's birth. They said in Luke 2:13-14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Now we know that there is no peace amongst men. I mean, you've just got to look at the world around us. But this was the message that the angels came to proclaim, that this was God revealing himself, and he was saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, peace toward men from God himself, that his will toward us is good. That from that moment on, from Jesus coming and displaying himself and God becoming a man and reconciling mankind to himself, that there would now be peace from God toward all mankind. In Romans 5 verse 1, it says, now that we have been put right with God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying that when I put my trust in Jesus Christ as the one who saves me, I'm made right with God, and there is peace between God and me. You know, God prophesied this, and he spoke about this covenant of peace many, many years before. And I love the way that it says in Isaiah 54, verses 9 and 10. It says, for this is like the days of Noah to me, when I swore that the waters of Noah would not flood the earth again. So I have sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you, for the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my favor will not be removed from you, nor will my covenant of peace be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. I love this portion of scripture. You know, when God flooded the earth, he then said to Noah that he was never going to flood the earth again. And he gave us the sign of the rainbow. That when we see the sign of the rainbow, we can know that God would never ever flood the earth again. How many times do we hear from religious people saying that God is going to send a tsunami or God's going to send a flood? Yet God clearly says here in Isaiah 54 that he would never ever do it. And he gave us the sign of a rainbow, that this was a promise that he would keep, that when you and I see that rainbow, we can know that God is faithful to the promise. But then in the same breath, he says, just like he swore to Noah that he would never ever flood the earth, he says, so I swear to you that I will not be angry with you, nor will I even rebuke you. And this is after Isaiah 53, where it's a clear description of Jesus Christ being crucified on the cross of Calvary, and him becoming our sin and our pains and our infirmities, and that he was the sin payment for us. And he says in the same breath here, because of that, God will no longer be angry with you, nor will he even rebuke you. And he says, for the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake. Now, you know, have you ever seen a mountain removed and a hill shake, maybe through an earthquake or something? But he's saying here, my favor shall not be removed from you, nor will my covenant of peace be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion or mercy on you. He's saying that God has got a covenant with peace because of what Jesus Christ has done. That God is not angry with you. God is not mad at you. God is madly in love with you. And that is why he sent his son Jesus. You know, many people live with this image of God that he's angry and that he's just waiting to pour out punishment. Yet the Bible is so clear that God, because of his son Jesus Christ, is not angry, because Jesus Christ has paid the payment in full. And when he hung upon that cross, he said, it is finished. The work is done. It's because of this work of Jesus that God is at peace with all of mankind. And because of that, when I pray, when I have a relationship with him, when I converse with God, I can know that he's at peace with me. In Philippians 4, 7, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. When you are conscious of Jesus Christ, that he lives within you, that he is at peace with you, even when you pray, even when you ask God, even when you bring him your cares and your concerns, there is a supernatural peace that will protect you, that will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus promised us this. You know, in Acts 10:35, it says, it makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as he says, the door is open. So he's saying here, listen, God's door is always open. There is never a shut door in relationship with God. You can run to him at any time. You can run knowing that he is at peace with you. He's not angry, waiting to pour out judgment and punishment upon you. Jesus even said this in John 14, 27. He said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled nor fearful." Notice those were the words of Jesus. He's saying, don't allow your hearts to be troubled or fearful, because there is a peace that comes from Jesus Christ, that comes from God Himself. In the midst of circumstances that don't look peaceful, you can enter into a peaceful relationship with God through the gift of Jesus Christ. And this is what the angels declared. They declared peace and goodwill toward all man. My friend, if you are living with an expectation that God is about to punish you, that God is wanting to inflict judgment, if you're looking at your circumstances thinking that God is punishing you, I want you to know, friend, that that is not from God. And that just shows that you don't believe that He loves you. Because in 1 John 4, 18 and 19, it says it this way: "We need have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread of what He might do to us. If we are afraid, it is for fear of what He might do to us, and shows that we are not fully convinced that He really loves us." So you see, our love for Him comes as a result of His loving us first. So He's saying that if I have fear, if I have dread in my heart, thinking that God might punish me in some way, it's showing me that I don't believe that He loves me. My friend, Jesus Christ came to show you that He loves you, that God loves you. And that is the third purpose of why God has given us Christmas, a time not only to celebrate, not only to experience a Savior who saves us from our sins, but that we can experience peace. In the midst of circumstances that don't look good, we can know that our hearts don't need to be troubled or fearful, because God loves us and He is at peace with us. And my last reason or purpose of Christmas, the fourth purpose of Christmas, is that God has always wanted to have a relationship with you. And this is a good reminder that God came in the form of His Son as a man, toward mankind, knowing that because of this, there will be a restoration of fellowship, a restoration of relationship between God and man. God wants us to know Him like He knows us. God knows you. He formed you. He created you. And He wants you to know Him as well as He knows you. He knows the very hairs on your head. He knows every intimate detail about you, and He wants you to know Him, where you don't know about Him, but you actually know Him. In Hebrews 8, 11 to 12 in the Message, it says, "They won't go to school to learn about me or buy a book called God in 5 easy lessons. They'll all get to know me firsthand, the little and the big, the small and the great. They'll get to know me by being kindly forgiven with the slate of their sins forever wiped clean." Isn't that wonderful to know that you will get to know God when you are no longer conscious of your sins? You will get to know God in an environment where there is no accusation. You will get to know God in an environment knowing that everything has been wiped clean. The slate has been wiped clean because Jesus Christ has paid the price, and by His blood He has saved you, and He has washed you as white as snow. So because of that, I can now have a relationship with God, knowing that He desires this, and that He has wiped the slate clean, and that He wants me to know Him. In Romans 5, 10 to 11, in the New Living Translation, it says, "For since we were restored to friendship with God by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by His life. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in making us friends of God." Isn't this amazing? That this just blows my mind, that God wants to have a relationship and be a friend to me. And this is what He's saying, that we can rejoice in this wonderful new relationship with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. So This Friday, we are going to be opening up a whole bunch of gifts around the Christmas tree. Some of them are going to be impersonal, some are impractical, some you can't use, some will be temporary, some will break before the day is over, and some are just going to be flat out cheap with no thought behind them. But I want to let you know that God's gift toward us, the gift of His Son Jesus Christ, firstly, it's personal. The Bible says, unto you a child is born. This is personal. This is for you. The gift of Jesus Christ is for you to experience a relationship with God. The gift that God has for you is personal. Secondly, it's practical. This is something that you can use daily. The relationship that you have with God, the favor that of God that comes upon you because of Jesus Christ inside of you is practical. It's something that is applied every single day of your life. Thirdly, it's priceless. There is nobody else who could pay this price. You know, there is an advert on TV about a credit card that talks about things being priceless. I want to let you know that the greatest gift of all is priceless. There can be, when God looked around heaven to the most costly possession that He had to exchange for your life and my life, He saw His Son Jesus. And Jesus said, yes, I will pay the price for this person, for you, for me. That the gift that God has given us is priceless. And fourthly, it's permanent. It will be used throughout all eternity. Friendship with God through the gift of Jesus Christ is a permanent gift that will be everlasting to everlasting, and we can rely upon that. But you know, have you ever got a gift that you've never opened? You know, an unopened gift is a worthless gift. But 2,000 years ago, God gave a gift to you and I, and it's time for us to open the gift. You know, I hear people, you know, what is this world going to? But the issue is not about where the world is going. The issue is, have you opened the gift of Jesus Christ? Have you received Jesus Christ into your heart? Do you have a relationship with you? You know, I think, you know, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. We shouldn't be waiting for the gift to open it up one day. Today is the day when God, if He's speaking to you right now and you've never ever opened the gift of Jesus Christ, you've never received this gift, the gift of salvation, the gift of peace, the gift of relationship with God, this gift of celebrating the good news that Jesus Christ has done everything so that He can have a relationship with you. My friend, if you've never done that, I would love to pray with you right now that you can receive Jesus Christ. And the Bible says when you do that, you become a new creation and you are born again. You are born of the Spirit of God because you are receiving this gift of salvation, not because you're trying to earn it or because you've gone to church your whole life, but because you are not trusting in any of your works that you have done, but you are trusting only and solely in the person of Jesus Christ to come and save you. And the Bible calls that being born again. So my friend, on this Christmas morning of 2020, if you have never done that, I would love to pray with you right now that you can open up the best gift, this gift that you can celebrate, this gift that saves you from your sins, this gift that gives you peace that can never be taken or shaken, this gift of relationship with God. So if that is you, my friend, why don't you just pray with me in your heart between you and God and just mean this because this is between you and Him and just pray after me. Just say, Heavenly Father, I thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank You that You have paid the price that I could never pay. And I'm asking You to be Yourself, the Savior of my sins. And I'm asking You to save me. Free me from myself. Free me from my sins. Free me from my issues. You have promised in Your word that I would have a clean slate when I trust in You, that You will wash me clean. And so I'm asking You, Jesus, to do what You do best, and that is save me and free me and wash me as white as snow. I thank You for the peace that You give me. I thank You for relationship with You, Lord. I thank You that I am now born again because I trust You. Thank You that I can believe that You died for me and that You rose again and that You are Lord of all. Thank You, Lord, that I confess You as my boss and Lord and that I can trust in You. Thank You, Father, for a relationship with You, that You desire this and You've desired this since the day that I was born. And thank you that I can experience that with you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Friend, if you have prayed that prayer, the Bible says you are now one with God. His Spirit now comes and lives inside of you, and you have the nature of God. You have been made the righteousness of God, and you experience the peace and the gift that God has given in His Son, Jesus Christ. If you prayed that prayer, get a hold of us. Write a comment in the comments of our Facebook or YouTube profile. Get a hold of us at our church at Knysna Vineyard. Always remember, you are highly favored and deeply loved of God, and I pray that you will have a wonderful Christmas in 2020, and that 2021 will bring all your dreams come true as you pursue God and delight yourself in Him. God bless you. Have a wonderful Christmas.